Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the prophetic news. And we've got a lot of prophetic news today. We are in the last days, and we are seeing all these little antichrist people popping up all over the place, and even people that claim to be Christians, such as Paula White, who there'll be no doubt in your mind after today that she's a reprobate. And especially after she praises the woman who says she is the only begotten son or the only begotten daughter of God, who was born without original sin, and that you could be born again if you believe in her. Hak Ja Moon, who was the wife of the so-called Reverend Moon, the founder of the Moonies. It can't get any crazier, really, when you see that this woman, Paula White, so-called spiritual advisor, what spirit? No wonder President Trump wound up in such a mess taking any kind of spiritual advice from this woman, who will sell her soul to the devil for a few dollars, because apparently the Unification Church pays big bucks if you go and speak at their conferences, and they will give you big money. So there's not enough money in the world to get us to sell out. Amen. So it's horrible. And you feel sorry for the people that follow this woman, Moon, and of course that follow Paula White and give her any credibility at all, which is very sad that even when it's been about, I guess it might be 2 years since I've been to Paula's church and going to see how many people actually attend that church. Of course, I don't know how many people are actually going there now, but at one time, it was mainly African-American members there. I would say 90% of the members. And there were thousands at one point, but then the membership dwindled down. So when I went there, there was more white people there. And I would say maybe she had about 400 people. Now, this was 2 years ago. I don't know how many people she has now. I'm sure many people have left. And they keep leaving that place for good reason. They leave, but and I would attribute it to the fact that she was being endorsed by the president, and so it gave her credibility with white Republicans, which I thought it was very tragic when I went and I saw these fools over there at her cult. I'll call it a cult, because she's another one that tells people that if you want to leave her church, if you're a member and you want to leave her church, you have to go and ask her first. And then she has to give her okay so she can sign you off to the next pastor. What? You know, I don't need to ask her if I can leave a church. It's like, you better run for your life. If there's people attending that place that they call a church, you better run for your life and don't look back, because it's going to get worse as she becomes more and more emboldened with her reprobate personality. And it is. Hi, everybody in the chat room. Hi, Deanna and Shannon. And Green Beasley and Rick. Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody in England and Australia, South Africa, Canada, which is makes up, of course, the United States, which makes up the most part of our listening audience. But we also have listeners in other countries as well. So we thank God for that. But also, I did write a new book, and it's about 144 pages. Mainly, it contains the Grassley Report, which is a very detailed report of how Paula and Randy White took in over $150 million and blew it. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? And then you become a presidential spiritual advisor when you don't have any sense in your head that you can take $150 million and blow it. It disappeared. So they wound up bankrupt, and they wound up bulldozing their churches in Tampa and Lakeland. So that I wouldn't call that success, and I wouldn't call that prosperity. So I don't know. And then all of a sudden, it's like this woman has been resurrected, and there she is again, appearing to a national audience. And supposedly this seminar that they had from Moon. Now, this isn't the first time she's been a speaker at the Mrs. Moon's gathering. Of course, it wasn't live. It was live streamed, and it was supposedly live streamed to 1 million people. And that's a pretty good audience, right? So she's been, over the years, quite a few years, going to this event and selling her soul out to the devil for a few pieces of filthy lucre. I wouldn't be caught dead in one of these meetings with someone that claims to be the only begotten daughter of God. They pay, I don't know what they get paid to speak, but I would imagine it's probably over $100,000. I would imagine it's some kind of a fee like that. I know years ago, this is probably in the late 1980s. Of course, Moon had helped fund Jerry Falwell's university. He was giving him money. He gave Tim LaHaye money. He gave money, I think, to Ralph Reed and Gary Bauer, these people that sell out. And, of course, some of these people surrounded Paula White when they were trying to get close to the president. So they accepted money from Moon. But I had a pastor friend in Atlanta, and he was telling me that he was showing me this letter he got, this invitation he got from Moon, and he was inviting pastors on an all expense paid vacation somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but to go to attend a conference, and he was thinking of going. And I was saying to him, like, what is wrong with you? Why in the world would you want to accept an invitation to go somewhere to hear Moon? And another friend of mine was telling me the other day that happened to him and some of his pastor friends, that Moon paid their way to go overseas to Korea or somewhere. And of course, when you go over there, and I remember some of my pastor friends, when they would go to Singapore, they would all go, and that was the place to go for your custom-made suits and your custom-made shoes, tailor-made clothes and whatever. So they all came back with tailored shirts and tailored suits, this group that went over there to attend Moon's conference. Now, is it worth a pair of shoes and a suit to go over and get your brain washed by crazy people? The guy is dead. I mean, Moon is dead. He died a few years ago at 92. And you could go on YouTube, which I don't even really like to advertise for YouTube, even though I still have a channel there. As long as I can, I will. But especially after their ridiculous censorship. It's just ridiculous. But you could go there and you could see the funeral of this moon. And he, after he died, they put him in a glass enclosed tomb, and he's laid out, and you could go and you could see him. I don't know how many people are allowed to go see him. I guess they mummified him, and he's in these robes, and people are bowing down to his dead body. It's crazy. It's just, yeah. And they have a lot of followers. I don't know how they do it. Now, I have to give the guy credit for this. He was a good businessman. He managed to collect billions of dollars, and he owned the Washington Times, a newspaper, and vast real estate holdings, and many other corporations. So they're filthy rich. And now his wife lives in this palatial mansion. I mean, it's huge. You can go and see pictures of this too. It looks like the White House or the Capitol. It's designed after the Capitol in the United States, of the United States. So it looks very luxurious. And I imagine it is, especially on the inside. It looks like a queen would live in there. So they're not hurting for money, but interestingly enough, one of the ways that they raise money, and it's the same old, it hasn't changed, because that's how the Catholic Church built St. Peter's in Rome, by selling time out of purgatory, selling miracles, miracle selling. There's big bucks to be made in miracle selling. So that's why all these people do it, and including the so-called Reverend Moon. People were told to donate to get their ancestors out of eternal punishment. So people do that. The Catholics still do it today. And you could pay $10 or $20 or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. I haven't called to ask lately, but I remember when my uncle died about 20 years ago or so, I said, I'm going to call the Catholic Church and I'm going to ask them if I could buy a mass to get him out of purgatory. So I call and the secretary answers, and I ask her, how much is it to have a mass said to get a soul out of purgatory? Oh, $10, she said. $10. They're still doing it too. They're still doing it. You can get your dead relatives out of purgatory for $10. And that, well, of course, you can't just say one mass. You have to say many masses. And I don't know how much it'll wind up costing. So you can get that. But I remember when a relative of mine passed away, and someone called and they said, well, here, I'm getting you 10 masses already. This is what I'm going to give you. Usually when somebody dies, people send flowers or whatever, they send gifts. So they sent this novena. They were going to say, I don't know how many novenas. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? You know, don't waste your money. So, but it's a big racket, and they prey on people's tragedy, and they prey on their grief. When a cousin of mine died, this is a long time ago, this is probably 30 years ago, when we went to the funeral parlor, and it was my father's sister's son. And of course, she had the Catholic priest there, and he was telling the people that we know that we can pray him out of purgatory, and he might have even gone to heaven or whatever. And so after, I went up to the guy, the priest, and I said, how could you say that? You don't know where he went, and you can't tell people that you can give money to get people out of purgatory. Well, he was stunned. He probably was never confronted with somebody asking those questions, I'm sure. But anyway, it was food for thought, right? But before we get started on the moon thing, I wanted to, there was a great story, and it was on Inside Edition last night, and it was a special investigation into Marcus Lamb of the Daystar Television Network. Marcus Lamb, and he's the con artist extraordinaire, actually. Oh, I mean, Marcus, he can turn on the waterworks and everything when he's trying to get you to give money to Daystar, which takes in $50 million, $100 million a year. And, of course, they make tens of millions of dollars selling airtime, so they don't even really need to do telethons to support their heretical network. And he claims, Marcus claims, that the Daystar network is worth $1 billion. So, Marcus, that's my question to you, Marcus. If your network is worth $1 billion, then why are you doing those begathons? It's pitiful. And Marcus stands there. He cries that if you send in $1,000, God will give your child, get your child off of drugs, and you might get household salvation, and you might get your debts canceled. And he promises all kinds of things. But anyway, thank God for Inside Edition. And you can go and see the video on YouTube. It's Inside Edition, and you'll see the special report on Marcus Lamb. So let me play this for you, and then we'll just talk about it a little bit.
Early in the pandemic, the government passed the Paycheck Protection Program, which provided funds to enable companies to keep employees on the payroll. One of the largest religious networks was approved for almost $4 million of taxpayer money. But soon after, it purchased a multi-million dollar jet. Lisa Guerrero had a few questions about that.
The best is young!
Marcus Lamb is the charismatic leader of one of the world's largest religious networks, Daystar Television, which is also a very prosperous tax-exempt church.
Daystar was recently appraised at over $1 billion.
He lives a life of luxury. Check out his mansion with a beautiful pool.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
When the pandemic hit, Lamb's Daystar TV applied for the government's Paycheck Protection Loan Program, or PPP, to help pay employees' salaries, and received $3.9 million. We've learned that just 2 weeks after being approved for millions of dollars in taxpayer funds, the church bought a private jet. It's a multi-million dollar 1997 Gulfstream 5, like this. The luxury aircraft, which Lamb says they got for less than half the market value, holds up to 14 passengers. Lamb says they were able to buy the Gulfstream with proceeds from an investment and the sale of its old jet, not by using government PPP money. And he insists the jet is for ministry purposes. But is that always the case? In July, he flew with his family from his home in Dallas to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where they posted these videos enjoying 8 days in the sun. Look how his family described the trip on social media. "Our amazing fam on vacay," wrote his wife. And his son posted, "Lots of great memories made on our family beach vacation this year." But Lamb insists to Inside Edition that it was a, quote, "working vacation," a leadership retreat with his family, who are ministers of the church too, and were consumed with meetings. In September, Lamb and his family used the jet to fly to California for 2 days. When they returned to Dallas, they looked like they had time to play some golf. Lamb is known to be an avid golfer.
Hole in one, number four.
And in October, Pastor Lamb flew with his wife and some friends to Naples, Florida, where they spent 8 days vacationing and playing golf. He told us he had 5 meetings there and spoke at a church. Pete Evans is an investigator with the Trinity Foundation, a church watchdog group.
They got millions of dollars from the government, and then they spent millions of dollars on a private jet. It just looks bad.
We recently caught up with Pastor Lamb as he arrived at Daystar's golf tournament outside Dallas.
So your church received millions of dollars in taxpayer money and then 2 weeks later bought a private jet for millions of dollars. Can you explain that? Did you use taxpayer money to buy a private jet?
No, we did not.
Then what are you
using? We had our own money.
Then what are you using that private jet for? Church business only?
Absolutely.
Then why did you take two vacations with that church jet, including to Florida last week where you played golf? Your wife posted on social media that she was on vacation.
We did have vacation, but we also did several meetings with ministers while we were there.
Then it was time for a round of golf.
Bye.
Earlier this week, after our inquiries, the church paid back the entire $3.9 million it received from the government. An attorney for Daystar Network says it will donations to fund its operations, including the purchase of that jet. It also says it complies with all laws.
Yeah, it complies with all laws except God's law. Amen. Yeah, he complies with it. Amazingly enough, they're worth $1 billion, and he had to take almost $4 million from the government to pay his employees. But something happened after Inside Edition did this report, or they found out that they were going to do their report, this report, and so they paid back the money. They paid back the money. Yeah, I guess they paid back the money. Yeah. Also, TBN took millions of dollars too. Benny Hinn took money. Paula White took money. Yeah, they all were taking the payroll protection plan. And meanwhile, these poor small business people are going out of business, and these greedy preachers, they never have enough. They never have enough. Yeah, well, if you're going to take that money, why don't you distribute it to people that need it? And if you're worth $1 billion, oh, please. But anyway, we'll get more of a list together. A friend of mine is putting a list together, but of these people that took the payroll protection plan money, the churches, and there were hundreds of them, probably thousands of them that took these bailouts. And but the gravy train is over, so, and church is never going to be what it was. I don't care what kind of vaccine they come out with. This thing, I don't believe this thing is going away. And so people aren't going to be flocking to these places like they once were, or to their conferences or to their concerts or whatever. So those days are over. And they're going to learn how, some of them are going to have to learn how to trust God, which they should have been doing anyway, so then they wouldn't close up. But I wonder if Marcus and his family are going to post any more pictures on Instagram or YouTube of their family vacays. And I had such a good laugh watching that report, because I guess they figured they were going to get away with flying all over on their luxurious jet on these vacations, and nobody was going to find out. Nobody was going to say anything. So he could say, yeah, we met with ministers. We had lunch with somebody. So they could probably say, yeah, that was meeting with ministers, or if it's a vacation. I doubt seriously that he was working. But anyway, God knows all about it. So Marcus could say whatever he wants. But you know, you be sure your sin will find you out, right? Yeah. Anyway, let's open with the scripture. We're going to open this next discussion with Matthew 24. And then we're going to talk about Paula White.
Early in the pandemic, the government passed the Paycheck Protection Program, which provided funds to enable companies to keep employees on the payroll.
No, that's not Matthew 24. Here we go.
Chapter 24. And Jesus went out of the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Amen. So Jesus warned us to beware of false prophets and false Christs. And yes, this is the organization, the Unification Church. They called the Moonies after the head, the Reverend Moon. Of course, I put that in quotes because there was nothing reverend about this man, but they called him the Reverend Moon, and now his wife, Hak Jahan Moon, is the new savior, supposedly the savior of the world. And could you imagine getting up in the morning? You get up in the morning and you're just crawling out of bed and your hair is all ruffled and everything. And you're trying to get your eyes open. And you get up in the morning and you say to yourself, I'm the savior of the world. Where is the straitjacket? And what about the crazy people that follow these people? I don't know what is in the human heart that would cause people to believe that these two human beings were the people that were supposed to bring peace on the earth. Well, their organizations, they have so many different organizations and magazines and conferences, and they have a book called The Divine Principle, which is basically like their Bible. But people are, they're looking for something, and they fall into this trap. And actually, these people would marry people that didn't even know each other. They would gather them together in a huge arena, and there would be thousands of young men and women, and women in bridal dresses, and the men, some of them in tuxedos, and some of them never met until that day. These were arranged marriages, which were supposedly, some of them arranged by Moon or arranged by the parents. And these people would get married not even knowing the person. And then they couldn't have any kind of relations for 40 days after the marriage. But that didn't stop Reverend Moon from fooling around. He was fooling around and having children out of wedlock. So we'll hear some audio from the ex-daughter-in-law who managed to escape from the Moon family, and she actually even wrote a book. But let's hear Paula. Now, here's Paula White at the conference that they just had last weekend, and she's there with the only begotten daughter of God, so-called. Now, she isn't, but that's what she calls herself. But here's Paula now speaking. This is her speech that she gave, which, you know, she didn't write this. Somebody wrote this for her.
I am so honored to be with you, and what an encouragement to the body of Christ, to Mother Moon, for your tireless efforts and your work as you have continued from all over the world to work together in peace and unification, to bring together people for the better cause. I congratulate you. And while we see there is much work still to be done, we look at the great accomplishments that you have set as an example for all of us to follow. I'm reminded of the Word of God. The Bible tells us so clearly in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, that God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It's so important that we as clergy, as people of faith, call the body of Christ together to abide, which means to stand firm in God's love, to extend peace, to extend his love. to see his love cover our nation and all nations, to bring them to him, a true knowledge of who he is, a true knowledge of walk. For it goes on in the book of James and all throughout 1 John and says that there cannot be bitter and sweet waters that flow out of the same fountain, that you cannot say that you love God and yet you hate your brother. And so it tells us to labor, to work diligently, to work with effort for the unity of all brethren. I ask you, as fellow clergy, as people of faith, that we labor. It's so important to be rightfully equipped with the armor that God has given us through his word. His word is our bedrock. And so as we turn to his holy scriptures, the bedrock of our faith, we're able to find comfort and consolation. You see, the Bible is clear in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God is having a talk with Solomon right prior. And he says, after he'd built the temple, he said to him, look, there will be a time where there is no rain, where there will be a plague among the land. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. As we truly repent and ask God to search our hearts, is there anything that is not pleasing to you, God? Is there anything that you need to do in our life? As we repent and we pray.
Yes, she better repent. She better repent. But first of all, Mrs. Moon is not a Christian. She's not a Christian. We don't come together in unity with Antichrist. But that's what false prophets and false teachers like Paula are aiming to do. So you'll see more of these kind of things going on as the days progress. But here's part two of this. Paula White praising Mrs. Moon. Just waiting for this thing to load, but it's a sad and a scary day, because the Bible does say that in the end times that men would wax worse and worse, and we're seeing that happening, where people will start showing up with these Antichrist people, and there'll be people that have been in the public eye who claim to be Christians will see these people, and people will still follow them, and people will still support them. Although sometimes God just takes these so-called ministries and he just puts a stop to it. We've seen it before where God has brought people to their knees and basically taken them out of the public arena. And sometimes they come back, like Jimmy Swaggart. He took a terrible fall and he came back. And Jim Baker, he took a terrible fall and he came back. And also in Paula White's case, where they blew through $150 million. Of course, she did manage to buy a valuable piece of real estate in New York City. She bought an apartment at the Trump Park Avenue building, and it's worth, I don't know if it's worth $3 million, anywhere from $3 million to $6 million. So, and I think that apartment is totally paid for. And, of course, they've got the property that somehow she managed to weasel her way in there at Apopka. And I don't know how she ever took over this church. It's I know that there's people that know the whole thing, and the whole story hasn't been told as to how she managed the coup that she did, and she managed to take this building that's worth millions of dollars in itself, and there's property there. So I don't know how some of these pastors, when they...
And we
here we
pray,
go. Here she comes.
And we fast. We know that God will heal our land. God wants to bring restoration. So I pray that you, myself, along with Mother Moon, will be a part of that great restoration. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He said, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather, scatters." We thank you for that spirit of gathering on you, Mother Moon. May there come upon you right now, and may God do a great work to gather us together. We are praying for America and also for the reunification of Korea. I'm reminded of this story that I'd like to read to you in Mother Moon's memoir. On page 355, it entails and says this. Mother Moon tells about a photograph of her grandmother, Miss Jo, with a child on her back, a super devout Christian, who bravely went out in the 1919 Korean independence movement to protest the brutal domination of Japan. At an appointed hour, pulled their banished Korean flags from their blouses and defiantly waved them, all with women, all over Korea in public. Mother Moon notes that the child on her back was her mother, and she noted the sad expression on her grandmother's face when the nation was stolen. Then in another picture, her mother, Miss Hong, was carrying a child on her back and joyously waving her Korean flag on August the 15th of 1945 when Japan surrendered. Her grandmother had such a look of joy because she regained her name. The child was Mother Moon. Mother Moon, we see the day coming when you will have the same joy on your face, because together with you, America and Christianity will support Korea coming back together as one nation for God, bringing the world to peace. May God do a work in America. May God do a work in Korea. And may God do a work through all of his chosen, anointed children. God bless you.
What? Doesn't that just sound like the Antichrist? It's like Mrs. Antichrist, her and Moon, saying, "Oh, she may God bring all the anointed ones together, his anointed children." And she's reading, she probably didn't read the book that was written by Mrs. Moon, but she quotes from it. And she's going to unify, say she's unifying everybody. That's, I guess, why they call their church the Unification Church, because they're trying to be unity, bring unity. But it's a total Antichrist organization. And if you look their book, The Divine Principle, it is available online, and it's 616 pages. But on page 352, they talk about world government, and this is what they say. They say, "There are many Christians who believe that God does not want a unified world." In other words, a one world government. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to beware of a one world government. Christians look only to the afterlife as being a place where Christians will live happily ever after, and they will forget the billions of people who are doomed to hell. It is a serious flaw in Christian theology that sees any attempt to world unity as satanic. Oh, really? The alternative to the destruction of the human race is a worldwide fusion of all tribes, nations, civilizations, and religions of man. Billy Graham and other Christian leaders do not know that the Messiah comes to unify mankind on earth. Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah, the false Messiah comes, the Antichrist comes. You have a little insight into that with the next crew that's coming in to take over this country in the next few months. And they're saying, we're all going to be one, we're going to unify, and we're going to be happy, and there's going to be peace, and we're going to do things so nice in a nice way. And so they're doing the same thing with this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Of course, those are the words of Jesus, but so is this, these Antichrist people. They say that too. Well, there's not going to be unity on the earth. You can never unify everyone for everyone to love each other. And there's always going to be disagreements between people. And you can't force people to like you. I don't care who you are, but you can't force people to like you. And some people are just prejudiced. That's just the way they are. And it would take a definite act of God to change things. So their idea of having this Messiah figure that's going to unite the world and bring the world together and everyone's going to live as one and we're all going to be happy, that's not going to happen. So that's one thing that they say about world government, as Paula White praises her. And then one religion, God is guiding the world to unity. Arnold Toynbee is the most famous historian of the 20th century. He found 28 cultural spheres in history. God has worked to decrease that number, and now there are four: Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. The Messiah comes on the foundation of Christianity, but will unite all religion unto God's family, where there is no religion. Oh, really? Oh, I don't think my Bible says that. Oh, I don't think my Bible says that. Jesus is going to unite all religions? No. And then there's false prophets. One indication of telling when the third Adam would be born is that there will be a number of men saying, they are the savior of the world. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered them, beware that no one leads you astray. Yeah, they love to quote scripture. But of course, Moon called himself the Messiah. And that's how he gets people to follow him. But I'm going to play some of these audios now from, here's one from about Hak Ja Moon, the wife, that she's the only begotten daughter of God.
God referred to Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son when he was born 2,000 years ago. I was the first to be born as the only begotten daughter 2,000 years after that. That is, after the interval of 6,000 years. It was a miracle. A claim of being born without original sin contradicts everything Father said. It's nonsensical. She claims that Father was born with original sin. She writes, Father who was born with original sin could have that original sin removed as a result of meeting me, the only begotten daughter, born into this world without original sin. Father was not supposed to marry any other women before meeting me. I'm saying that she was meant to be true mother. Well, that very clearly implies that Father made mistakes marrying his first two wives. And these mistakes are sexual mistakes. So therefore, it's very clear that she's, whenever she said those things, she did not really believe Father was pure. A very important quote from Exposition of Divine Principle, page 390. And it shows the Messiah has to become from a sinless man without original sin. The savior of humankind is to be born as a sinless man out of a sinful lineage to save all the descendants of sinful lineages. Exposition of Divine Principle, page 390. He comes as a sinless man man with no sin whatsoever, no original sin or any other. But he comes out of a sinful lineage. Of course he's from a sinful lineage, because if his lineage is sinless, then his brother or his father or his grandfather could be the Messiah. He comes as the beginning of the lineage. He has the pure seed, and from that he is able to remove original sin from others. So it's very clear he comes as a sinless man from a sinful lineage. And to restore all the Hashem gave the direction to change how members address God from Heavenly Father to Heavenly Parents. He states, we must change the name when we pray to Heavenly Father. From now, please say Heavenly Parents. The name Heavenly Parents is smooth in English and meaningful in Korean too, don't you think? But this directly opposed a quote we already read. Father, we know from his practice, he always prayed to Heavenly Father. But he said we should always pray to Heavenly Father.
We should always pray to Heavenly Father, which was him, Moon. And here is it about him being Messiah.
It means he was telling the truth. To say that no one comes to the Father but through me takes an incredible spiritual foundation. Or you'll just be laughed off the stage of his, you know, thousands of people. I'm the Messiah. And they're just, you know, people don't pay any attention to them. But to make it credible, 60 years, 65 years, to be proclaiming it on a larger and larger stage, lots of people know that Reverend Moon claims to be the Messiah. Not so many people stand up and say he's not. Most people say, well, I know he's saying that. And they stop there. They don't say yes or no. To accomplish that in one's lifetime, I mean, if I stood up and said, well, I think I'm the Messiah, you're going to say, Tyler, I don't think so. But to have people, including presidents, you know, parliamentarians, religious leaders, hear Reverend Moon say, again, I am the Lord of the Second Coming, I'm the Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, and they sit there, maybe it's true, maybe he is, is an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah, that's an incredible accomplishment, all right. That's an incredible accomplishment for some human being that was an adulterer and fathered illegitimate children, that he claimed to be the Messiah and the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. No, there's many people that don't buy it, so I have news for that guy. Here's another clip about Mrs. Moon being the true mother.
Together with Father, using every second and minute for the will of heaven, leaving the model life to save the world. True mother. True mother. A woman is weak, but a mother is strong. The path that must be trodden as the mother of humanity. Mrs. Moon walks the path to save the world with Reverend Moon, accepting the will of God to use her for great purposes. She endured with nothing but prayer. Reverend Moon expresses sincere gratitude to the woman who has walked the path of suffering as the female leader of the humanity. Reverend Moon explains that Mrs. Moon, who is his wife and his eternal partner, Reverend Moon and Mrs. Moon visited Japan, America, and European nations to create an international foundation and at the same time strengthen the foundation of the Rural Enlightenment Movement. Then they went to America in 1972. It was to transcend national barriers and advance the will of God into the international level. Young intellectuals of the nation who were thirsting for truth came to Reverend Moon. America's ember of faith was rekindled through this one religious leader from Korea, and the unification movement spread like a wildfire.
Yeah, it did. It did spread like a wildfire. It really did. They became very wealthy and very powerful, and they've managed to mesmerize many millions of people to join this despicable cult. And there you have this moronic, demonic woman, Paula White, standing up and praising this family. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't.
It's in Chan Chan Gyeong book 1141. Eve was to be the wife of God. This is so because Adam was supposed to become one with God, so he would become God himself. Eve was meant to become the wife of God. She was meant to be Adam's wife, and at the same time, God's wife. So what this means, God, the invisible God, he created, basically, but he wanted to give himself form on the earth. He wanted to be able to have physical presence on the earth and relate to his children on the earth as a heavenly father. And that's why Adam was created. He became one with God, become God himself. This is very interesting because Father explained in her speech, Earthly Life and Spiritual World, one, that if Adam reached perfection, then God would always appear to his descendants in Adam's form from then forevermore. But of course, we know Adam and Eve fell. But Jesus came as a new Adam. And Jesus, a perfected man, and people could meet God in Jesus right up to his present day. And that's why Jesus is often referred to as God. And Father, of course, is the Messiah, the second coming of Christ. He's one with God. So many people could meet God in Father, including myself. And that perfect man is one with God, and Father is the image of God and will be forevermore. Adam's wife, as Father said, she becomes God's wife. And God's wife, of course, means Heavenly Mother. And the purpose of God's creation was to find his wife, Heavenly Mother. Because since the time of the fall, we lost our value, men and women. And so it took until Jesus came, and then only Father, we could restore the value of man. But the Messiah's role is to restore the value of woman. He does this by restoring his wife, and then if she reaches perfection, she restores the value of woman. So there's no...
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that this is in her book, Hak Ja Hong's book, that she says that Eve was meant to be the wife of God. Yeah, Eve was meant to be the wife of God. And now she's the one that's supposed to be the wife of God and have the Heavenly Mother and have this family that they're going to have. And this is the way that they're going to bring peace to the world, is by uniting all the families together. So this is very wacky and unbelievable that Paula White speaks at the conference for this woman. Noel Jones, who's another well-known heretic, and Hezekiah Walker, who does music for them. And it's a shame and a disgrace that these people have any kind of a public platform anywhere in any real Christian circles, which they shouldn't. They should be avoided like the plague, because it is a plague, because it's leading. When you look at this video of Paula White standing there and saying these things about Mrs. Moon, it just, it's so eerie, and it just puts you in remembrance of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the things that are getting ready to come on the earth. And it is very, very eerie to see it happening right before our eyes. This person has television programs on these so-called, I'm speaking of Paula White now, she has television programs on these so-called Christian networks, And she goes around the country speaking to people and then offering counseling to a president of the United States. I mean, how goofy can it get? Really. But here's Moon saying, they're saying that he's the king of kings.
It's a resort town known for its tranquility and scenery. Today, it's also the site of a spectacle like no other. Inside a spanking new stadium, some 2,500 people from all over the world prepare to say their wedding vows. Many more will renew their promises to each other today.
Yeah, there was a day when my mother's best friend, her husband, he started walking around in a robe and he grew his hair long. And he started saying he was Jesus, and they took him and they locked him up in a mental institution. So I don't know how this family got away with it and still getting away with it and managed to influence many millions of people around the world, even going to the Senate office building at one point a few years back. And deceiving, I think they said that they deceived people saying that they were coming to an awards dinner. So some of the people that did attend this event didn't know what it really was, but it was the crowning. They actually did a crowning ceremony there. I think it was in the Senate office chambers or I'm not sure if it was in the Capitol or in the Senate building, where they had this coronation service for the moons. And many Congress people and senators attended. Oh, yeah, you can see the pictures online of this crowning ceremony. Crazy. And anyway, here's the testimony from the daughter-in-law who left and divorced Moon's son. They had 14 children, apparently. Some of them passed away. I don't know if it was three or four of them passed away of the 14. And then the daughter-in-law finally got away from the son because the Moons teach that because they're born without sin, the parents, that their children are also born without sin, and they can't sin. You even hear these people testifying that nobody in the Moon family can sin. But the daughter-in-law said something different, and she also wrote a book. So, and also, Moon's daughter gives testimony about his illegitimate child.
And Moon's daughters, Anjin Moon. She told us her parents blamed her, too, when she was abused by her husband.
Did he beat you?
Yes.
And you would tell your folks?
Yes.
And they would say?
I deserved it.
Anjin Moon is estranged from her parents, but she has never criticized them in public before. She and a close friend, Jeannie Honard, said that by coming forward, they hope to dissuade people from joining cults. Off camera, Anjin told us she does not believe her father's the Messiah. On camera, she put it this way.
He's just my father. I think that in itself should say a whole lot.
Anjin is a Moon, but not a Moony, not a believer in her father's church.
I believe in a God, but I don't think that I want to belong to one particular denomination, no.
What do you think of Nansuk? Honest?
I think she's very honest.
Do you admire her? Do you respect her? Do you believe her?
Yes, I do. I respect and admire her very much.
Nansuk got a degree in art history from Barnard College. Though she realized the perfect family was far from perfect, she tried to be philosophical about it.
So what you're saying is that they're like...
Everybody else, like all of us who are dysfunctional. I think every family has problems. So they're like everybody else, but a little more dysfunctional than, I think, ordinary middle-class family.
Well, they have more money to help them to be dysfunctional.
Yes.
The church won't say how much money Moon has or how many businesses he owns, but over the years, he's reported to have amassed hundreds of millions of dollars. Former Moon insider Donna Collins was the first Western child in Moon's church. She was born into it because her parents set up the church in England.
I grew up believing he was the Messiah, but I can't imagine it now.
Because I feel that I was duped.
Duped.
Duped. I feel I was conned. And I had certain naive, I think, idealism that I wanted to work for God. And I do think a lot of people have that. And a lot of organizations like Moon do take full advantage of those people. And I was one of them.
Nansuk still believes in God, but she has a new way of looking at Reverend Moon.
I did come to conclusion that Reverend Moon just cannot be the Messiah.
What you're saying is that he's a phony.
A con man.
The Reverend Sun Myung Moon is a con man.
That's the conclusion I came with. Living with their family for 15 years.
The Reverend Mrs. Moon declined to talk to us, but they has at least one illegitimate son. Moon's daughter confirmed that.
That I know of, yes.
You know the child?
Yes, his name is Sammy.
And Aunt Jin Moon told us that the warm family pictures in the church magazine give a false impression. But the truth is Moon spent very little time with his children, and that he and most of his children have never been close. Told her he was entitled to have affairs because his father had had them. And she says Reverend Moon himself confirmed to her that he had had affairs, but the Reverend told her that God wanted him to.
He told me in person that he called it providential affairs.
Providential affairs?
Providential affairs. Providential means it's God's mission. So he had to have these affairs, extramarital affairs, because it was providential. It was God's mission that he had to fulfill.
Of course, Reverend Moon does not tell his followers about that part of God's mission. Instead, he adultery is a major sin.
I guess he's not going to tell them. Because he's supposed to be sinless. After all, you know, he was born without original sin. But it's interesting. I think her name is Hook Soon, the former daughter-in-law. And she says that she was conned because he's a con man. And she was duped because innocently, and this is the same thing that you find in most churches, is that there's people in churches and they want to do something with God, for God. They have fervor and they have... they're naive for the most part, like I was when I first started out in any kind of public ministry. I was very naive as to what really went on and the politics that was involved, which later on I decided I didn't want anything to do with because I wasn't going to be muzzled. So she says that she wanted to do something for God. And so, of course, they take advantage of that. But that's the same thing you see in a lot of these churches, is that people come in and they're told they have to serve and they're told they have to volunteer. And meanwhile, take, for instance, Marcus and Joni Lamb. Their children are driving luxury cars, as you'll see in that video from Inside Edition, and they're all well paid. They're all on staff there at the ministry. They're flying around in that fancy jet and they're taking luxury vacations and they're not volunteering, but I guarantee you that they have volunteers over there at Daystar. And most ministries do. They want volunteers to do work like clean the church and take care of the nursery or whatever, and they don't ever want to compensate people because this is the way that you prove yourself in a lot of churches, is that you do the dirty work and you volunteer until they see that you're really dedicated, so that then you can go to the next position. No, I've done that myself, where I would volunteer and I would show up. One particular ministry where I volunteered, I would show up every day, 8 o'clock in the morning for work, and I would do whatever they told me to do for X amount of hours, and I never received a paycheck. And I didn't really expect a paycheck because I was working for the Lord. And so that's how it is. And it's not right, because if people work, they should be paid. They should be paid, because you have to have money to live. How are you going to pay your rent and put gas in your car and put food on your table? So it's not right. And there's even a scripture about paying people that you shouldn't. The workman is worthy of his hire, as far as even in the churches, that even if you don't have a fivefold ministry position or something like that, but if you're working, they should pay you something and not expect people to volunteer while they're flying around in multi-million dollar jets and whatever. But you find that a lot. So it's not right that the pastors take advantage of people, and especially new converts that, oh, I want to do something for God. And so then these wolves, they prey on that, and they take advantage of people. They take advantage, of course, of their money then when they demand 10% from people. You have to give your money here or else God will crush you. God will, you have to buy the Mafia Protection Program or else. But anyway, let's put a stop to that nonsense and start treating people with respect and kindness, and teach people to be generous from their heart. I don't understand it totally, but I guess it's kind of the fallen nature, which the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, is they have no love for the brethren. They don't really have love for the brethren. And then they create these monster pastors, like they put you in the mind of someone like an Elvis Presley or a Michael Jackson, where they couldn't handle fame. They couldn't handle it. So they turn to drugs and they turn to pedophilia and they turn to being sex addicts or whatever, because they can't handle fame. They don't have a normal life. And it's the same thing with what people do to pastors, is they put them up on a pedestal, and then the pastor likes being up there, and he realizes himself that at any moment he could fall off just like anybody else. But yet they like that little extra bit of adoration. But here's the final clip. I want you to hear Paula telling people that about people leaving her church.
You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. It's a two-way street. You're members. You signed up. You made a covenant, just like you made a covenant when you married her, before God. And just like you don't get to walk away from her because you have a legal thing, that if you decided to leave her, you've got to go through the legal. Now, spiritually, there's a much greater legal. You can leave a church, but you have a spiritual legal obligation. Don't get me into all this teaching. So my job is not just to bless you. If you get blessed, praise God. You know what my job is? To build you.
Oh, yeah, you're going to build them all right, guys. Going to
pray in my lifetime,
Mrs. Moon.
I bless my children, but I could care less. Trust me. When I see that boy, and he's not a boy anymore, that man, Pastor Brad, get up and preach. Tears stroll down, not just this pastor's face, but this mama's face. Because I didn't bless him all his life. When we clashed, because he shook his fist as an atheist to God and went and slept with his girlfriends. God only knows.
Yeah, well, I want to know, like, where is your son, Paula? Like, did your son or your husband say to you, Paula, what are you doing with Mrs. Moon? Those men are a bunch of wimps, the husband and the son. Men? I don't think so, because real men would say, wait a minute, we don't want to be associated with Mrs. Moon. She's Antichrist. She says she's the only begotten daughter of God. She said that she's the wife of God. She said that you could be born again by believing in her. So what are you doing with her, mom and wife? What are you doing with her? That's what I would say. But notice, she says, well, you're in the covenant. What covenant? Anyway, I am the church. It's not, the church is not a building. And if I want to leave the building, just like Elvis, remember Elvis left the building? I can leave the building. And if I want to run far away from you, it's far away. And that's my advice from anybody that's going over to that city of destiny, new destiny, or whatever they call it, is to get up out of that place and run for your life. And don't look back, because you are being deceived and you are being set up for who knows what's next. I mean, any woman that would say that she went to the throne room of God, like she did about a year ago, she said that God took her up to the throne room, and she didn't quite see the face of God, but she saw he was in a mist. And then God put a mantle on her, and he showed her her destiny. And yeah, well, I wonder if God showed you that you were no longer going to be in the White House. I wonder if he showed you that. You can blah, 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 and hock, blah, blah, and pound the floor and beat the rock and whatever you want to do. And you're not going back there. No, that's over. That train has left the station for good. So God's going to give us what we deserve as far as government. But rejoice, brothers and sisters. God's got his own government. Thank you very much. And I like his government a lot better, because it's a government of truth and honesty and integrity and all those things that you probably won't find from earthly government. So we can't trust politicians. That's why they call them politicians, because they play politics with people's lives. And so does this woman, the heretic Paula White. So that's our broadcast for today. But don't forget, we've got my new book, Paula White, Heretic in the White House, the miracle-selling huckster who became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man. That book's available on Amazon and the Kindle version. It's also available in all the countries. It's got international distribution, so no matter what country you're in, you can get it. And our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? That's available in the paperback and in the Kindle version. And we also have our website, propheticnews.com, our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And then there's a new, it's been around for a while, Greedy Preachers TV, but I don't have that many videos on there. And also, if you want to email me, you can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. I know I've been getting some emails from some of the listeners, especially about the vaccines. And we'll talk about that again as they're getting ready to roll this thing out. And I don't feel good about it at all. Like I said, I can't tell you what to do, but I don't trust any of these vaccines. And God help us, but I guess we'll see. Also, thank you, say Ms. Penn, we're glad that you're out of the hospital. God bless you. I hope you're feeling better. And we want to remember our brothers and sisters that are unemployed, and some are wondering where they're going to get their next paycheck. Oh dear. But trust God. All I can say is trust God through it all. That's all we can do at this point, is we have to trust God, because we just don't know what's going to happen. We're just seeing so many things fall apart around us, and our Constitution, our Supreme Court, which, forget it, you know, I'll tell you what, we're getting an eye-opening look into the world of government, of worldly government, how corrupt it is, and how wicked it is as far as standing up for truth and righteousness. They just don't want to do it, you know, just don't want to do it. And so we're seeing the collapse of our institutions and our freedoms. So we have to trust God more than ever and believe that no matter what comes our way, God is going to get us through. And he's the only one that can get us through these plagues and these viruses and these lockdowns and these walking around with a mask on. And not that I'm saying, I happen to believe that they can help in some instances, but that's up to the person whether they want to wear one or not. I don't think that people should be mandated to wear one if they don't want to. It's like one person said to the health department, they said to him, "We're concerned about your health." And he said, "Well, let me be concerned about my own health." And so you have to let people have some freedom in choice. We already had so many lockdowns and it didn't help stop anything. What did it stop? Nothing. How are you going to control a virus? It's just impossible to, they never were able to control the common cold. They were never able to control the flu. So I don't know what makes them think that all of a sudden they're going to roll out this vaccine and it's going to control this virus. I don't believe it will. And I personally think that the side effects are going to be a lot worse. They've already had people get Bell's palsy, and the fact that they're putting aborted baby tissue in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And you can find that information right on their website. If anyone wants the documents on these vaccines, if you email me, susan@propheticnews.com, I will send you the links, and you can see for yourself what's in some of these vaccines. Also in the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine has some kind of technology, mRNA or something, which is harmful too. So there was a Dr. Boyle, I think he's Dr. Boyle, but he was giving some information about some of the vaccinations and the dangers. But it's up to you to do the research before you go out and get a shot and find out for yourself. And then you can make your decision wisely without causing any more injury to yourself than you need to. So you can email me, like I said, susan@propheticnews.com, and I would be happy to send you the documentation. So thanks everybody that stopped into the chat room today, and it was good to see you all. God bless you. And Jackie's going to be on next week, so we'll have another great topic. She put a good video up on her channel, Jackie Alnor, about this Paula White and the Moonies. So we are in perilous times, so we better stay close to God and stay in his word so we're not deceived. You can see how deceived people are and how they can fall for things so easily. And then when you try to tell them and to try to pull them out of the pit, they get angry. Ooh. And so all we can do is pray and hope for the best and preach the gospel. Amen. So don't forget the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. He said it. He said, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And just like the old hymn says, come unto Jesus, give him your life today. Come unto Jesus, let him have his way. And I will testify to the fact that when I turned my life over to Jesus and I asked him to forgive me of my sins, I was changed. Overnight, I was changed. I woke up the next morning and the scales fell from my eyes, and I didn't want anything to do with my old life anymore. No, I didn't want anything to do with it. I was a new creation, and I knew it. So I don't care what anybody says. Being born again is real, and nobody can take that away from me, because I am a living witness, and so is everybody else that has made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life, of your life. Amen. So God bless you all. We'll see you next week.